listening to the Bible teachings of Reality Stockton. For more info, please visit our website at realitystockton.com.
The Psalms have served to comfort, to encourage, to challenge, to lead the church throughout many, many, many different generations. And they've served to lead us through challenging circumstances. When life gets real, when the heat's turned up, in times of want, the Psalms always seem to fit the occasion. And that's pretty fitting because those are the very circumstances that the Psalms themselves were written out of. Psalm 23 is a pretty familiar psalm for most of us. I think we picture a young David in a scenic field as he's shepherding and he feels the sun beating down on him, and so he's just out of overflow of love and affection, he writes this. But truthfully, many believe this was later on in David's life. And he's penning this psalm, inspired by the Holy Spirit, in a very painful time, in a time of turmoil, a time of confusion in his life. It was a reflection and a worship that became a reprieve for him in a real life circumstance. Finding grace and comfort in a time of need, finding direction in a time of uncertainty. So that's my prayer for us this morning as a church, as we open up God's word, Psalm 23. Before I read, if you guys would just pray again with me. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that you shepherd us. We thank you for the voice of the Holy Spirit, God. We thank you that our greatest hope is that you are with us. We thank you that we can stand in that promise that Christ has promised to us, that he will build the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so, Holy Spirit, we pray that you position us on that promise right now. In a little bit of a shaky time, lead us to the rock that's higher than I. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to read kind of verse by verse Psalm 23. And we'll go into a time of worship. Starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The greatest thing that I can do right now is get the attention off of me and put it on Jesus. The first act of installment, so to speak, let's get our attention on Jesus. Because the greatest hope and the greatest confidence that a church possesses is that God himself is its shepherd. That God himself is her good shepherd. In good times and in the hard times and in all the times in between, God is our shepherd. And he is adequate for every need that we as his sheep have. In all circumstances, adequate. Every need, every thirst, every want, every hurdle, he is enough. Do we believe that? The psalmist says, I shall not want, which means you're all I want. You're all I want. You're all I need. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 10, he says, I came that they, his sheep, you and I, may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. And how do we know he's good? Because the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We can rest on the sure goodness of our good shepherd that has laid down his life for us at Calvary. In times when we are questioning his goodness in our own lives, in times that we are questioning his goodness in the time of our church, we can look back and say at a definitive moment in time, God came in Christ and he died for us. We are the blood-bought people of God, and he loves us, and he sacrifices for us, and he leads us. We have a promise that he will never forsake us, ever. This is the foundation that is set for the Christian church. There's no other foundation other than Christ. And I can stand here with boldness and confidence saying that I have witnessed Pastor Josh fight to preserve that truth. That Christ is our foundation. That Christ is our cornerstone. That Christ is our chief shepherd. It would be the leadership's joy to witness someone coming in for the first time and turning to someone and saying, hey, who's in charge here? And that person responding, Jesus. Amen. And then they're like, no, I know what you're saying, but who's in charge here? And they say, yeah, Jesus. And they go a third time, I get what you're saying, but who's really in charge? And they say, Jesus. That's the only way we can exist as a church. As long as God sees fit for our lampstand to stay in its place, so to speak, for us to be a witness in the city of Stockton, that Jesus Christ must always be Reality Stockton's chief shepherd. Always. The shepherd that all the other under-shepherds bow to, the shepherd that all the other leaders submit to. I feel like this is a very important thing to note here about this psalm. That the sheep have direct access to the shepherd. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it's not that your leaders have some sort of direct line to the chief shepherd that you do not have. That's folly. As if your leaders come down from the mountain with the orders from God. Here's where we're going. No, Jesus says in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. We are, as your leaders, commissioned by God to equip you by the strength and grace that he supplies for you to discern his voice in your life. To equip you to know him and enjoy being known by him. To equip you to follow him and to trust him and to be intimately acquainted with him and to abide in Christ. With the strength and grace that he provides to allow you or to point your gaze and your attention on him on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, to equip you to abide the sheep with the good shepherd. My prayer is that we would, as a church, live aware of that direct access that we have with the good shepherd. That's my prayer for you as the church. And that every time that we gather together, we would gather together in light of the truth that he is here with us, that he is present with us. And through Christ, we've been brought back into relationship with the Father. Look with me, verse 2 through 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. For his name's sake. Like the true nature of sheep, we are extremely needy. Sheep are needy. It's a humbling metaphor. What do sheep do? I'm not a shepherd, but I know sheep are needy. By our very design as sheep, we are physically needy. By very design, we are emotionally needy. We are spiritually needy. And the sooner that we come to know that, the better off we will be. We are a needy people. And through the particular care of Jesus in our lives, he is the source of those needs. Nourishment, physically and spiritually. Peace, emotionally. Rest and restoration and righteousness. We lack, but he has and he supplies. Here's the good news. God loves to be our supply. He's never inconvenienced by your absolute need. As we come to him, he doesn't say, gosh, why are you here again? I think about as I'm in the kitchen and we're preparing food and our kids are always coming in asking for this and asking for that and how we get impatient. God doesn't operate that way. God says, I love for you to come with your need. Come with more. The fact is he loves you and he cares for you. And you are not a liability to his care. You are not a liability to his care. You ever had a needy person in your life? I won't say that as a pastor, I have meet lots of those. I've been a needy person recently. Well, you ever felt coming to that point where you realize for the better of you and that person and the relationship, you're just going to have to retract because that person is just direly needy? God doesn't work that way. God doesn't retract from us when we come needy to him. The needier we are, the better this works for us. The needier we come to him, the better off. He's created us for this very purpose, that we find our all and our all in him, our everything in him. He says, are you tired? Come to me and get rest. Are you brokenhearted? Come to me and I'll bind you up. Are you mourning? Come to me and I'll comfort you. Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Come to me and I'll satisfy. Are you ashamed? Come to me and I'll take on that shame. Are you in need of love? I am perfect love. He says, come on. Come to me. He's our source of everything. And as our shepherd, he's not only our source, but he's also our guide. As we press forward by the grace of God as a church, and he's leading us into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. My brother and friend, Pastor Britt, has been a continual reminder to me of the following truth, that every day, in every circumstance, God is calling us to walk the path of righteousness, to discern by his grace what is the path that's going to be most righteous and bring him most glory. In every circumstance, both the big and the small, God, our shepherd, is shepherding us down the path of righteousness. A promise brief, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is where faith and trust are so vital in the life of a follower, and particularly today, faith and trust are vital in the life of a church, in our church. That God's leadership does not mean that we are exempt from pain. That God's leadership does not mean that we are exempt from storms and challenges and difficulty. Here's the thing. The promise isn't to give us an easy life and give us a stormless life and give us a less difficult life. The promise is even greater, and here it is. I will be with you always. Does that compute with us? I equate often, the goodness of God in my life when things are going well. I forget to follow Christ is the road to Calvary. I forget that Jesus says, in order to find your life, you must lose it. In order to gain it back, you must give it up. Jesus says, I've got a way better life for you than a pain-free life and a life free of difficulty. I've given you a life with me in it. Because Jesus is our heaven. Jesus is our truest heaven. Jesus is our truest joy. Jesus is the joy that outshines any difficulty. I will be with you always, in life, in death, in pain, and in plenty. I am with you always and forever. He is with us to comfort us. He is with us to lead us. He is with us to protect us. He is with us. Amen? Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Just to touch on what Pastor Britt had just mentioned. For those who are in Christ, God sits us down at the table of victory. That's triumph talk right there. That's not peacetime talk. That's triumph talk. For those who are in Christ, God sits us down at the table of victory. Victory through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Victory over the grave. Victory over sin. And victory over our enemy, Satan. Victory. We stand in victory here today, church. And we must stand in that victory as a church. God's calling us to stand in that victory. As was mentioned, Satan is salivating at the mouth. The taste of blood. Seeking whom he will devour. Observing our lives, observing our history, observing our church right now. We must be vigilant. We must be vigilant. We must give him no opportunity. Give no opportunity to the devil. Whether it's through unforgiveness, whether it's through gossip, whether it's through slander, whether it's through division. We must not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The victory of Christ is empowering you towards grace. The victory of Christ is empowering you towards peace. The victory of Christ is empowering you towards unity as a church. This very moment. To minister grace to one another, to minister peace to one another, to console one another, to allow the grace of God to flow through our lives, to channel through our lives to the other members and to the people of our city and the people around us. Lastly, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's so important to catch what the psalmist is doing in this last verse. He's saying, you are with me, you're comforting me, you're guiding me, yet I know a truth. That beyond today is a day where I will dwell with you forever. That there is a day coming that will far outweigh today. That there is a life beyond this life. He's saying, yes, challenges are real. Things are scary. Things are confusing right now. Life, the heat is turned up. But the psalmist is saying, lift your gaze above your circumstances and gaze into eternity. He says, lift them a little bit higher. Lift your attention just a little bit higher, above your circumstances. Set your sights a little higher, church. The call is to set our sights on eternity, to be a people living in light of eternity. So the psalmist is saying, get your eyes above the fears and get your eyes above your challenges and get your eyes above real pain, and get your eyes above sins and get your eyes above the sins of other people around you and set your sights on eternity and lock eyes with Christ where I will be with you forever face to face. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen, these things are transient. But the things that are unseen, they're eternal in Christ Jesus. Amen. Just a little bit, what we're going to do is we're going to transition to a time of worship. And I'm going to call you, church, to do something that may be outside of your comfort zone today. But I'm going to ask that everyone would bring their hurts and bring your fears and bring your needs all down to the feet of Jesus, our chief shepherd. Find healing for your soul. Allow the perfect love of God to cast out all fear, to allow the blood of Christ to wash over all of our sins, to allow the forgiveness of God to welcome us back in, and that you would take all of our cares. We all have cares. We all have anxieties. We all have stresses, and place them on Jesus, for he cares for us. That is the rightful place as needy people to place our cares on the shoulders of Jesus, the one who can shoulder it, not just for me, but all of us. Also, we're going to beef up on our prayer team today. We're going to have community group leaders over here on my right, your left, over by the soundboard, through our second set of worship to pray for you. Come and receive prayer. Come and allow brothers and sisters to minister to you through prayer. Bring it before God. Bring it before the feet of Jesus. Allow them to pray in a way that you may not know how to pray for yourself. That's what community's for. And lastly, I'm going to invite you as believers, those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, to come partake of communion today. We'll have the communion elements up front. And what we're going to do in this time is allow the good shepherd that became the lamb, that became the sacrificial lamb, to nourish and feed our souls through the remembrance of his body broken and his blood shed. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this church. Thank you that we are part of your body through Christ. That because Christ was removed, we were brought in. I pray, Lord, as you have called the church to be your hands and feet, the very body of Christ, if there's any skittishness in the church, if there's any fears, if there's any community-breaking sin or community-breaking fear, Lord, that you would allow us through Christ to overcome those. Lord, if there's any time that we need binding together in unity, it's today. And so we ask for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to bind us together in the bond of peace. Lord, we honor our brother and our pastor, Pastor Josh, today. I pray, Lord, as you're the good shepherd, that you would lie him down in green pastures, lead him by still waters, restore his soul. We pray that for all of us today. We love you. We thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. And so we set our sights on you in eternity in this time of worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Reality Stockton podcast. If you have been blessed by this ministry, please consider giving financially. For more info on how to give, please visit our website at realitystockton.com.